this thing on? Oh, they can hear me right now. They can hear me? There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to
take a look at himself in the mirror and decide just exactly who he is. Well, I've come to that crossroads, and I've decided Notch is a man. Notch is an athlete. Notch is a lover.
But the most is, I mean, the thing that Notch is the most is a goddamn champion.
National Hockey League trade deadline is 3 o'clock Eastern time on Monday, and what happens between now and then will form ripples across the world of pro hockey, and in some ways it's already started. From New York to Vancouver, Pittsburgh to San Jose, Toronto, Columbus, factor in also Kansas City, Quebec City, Seattle, teams fighting for Lord Stanley's Cup. One team could be fighting off the Grim Reaper also. I don't think I'm being melodramatic or exaggerating. I don't think I'm engaging in hyperbole. Rick Nash, the franchise player, the captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Other than Ken Hitchcock, the only good thing that's ever happened to that team in 11 years. And he's the big ticket in this year's trade deadline. I don't know why Gary Bettman doesn't get more alarmed when things like this happen, because you shouldn't, as a commissioner, want one of your teams to just openly be in the crapper like it is. It's the old cliche about a chain being as strong as its weakest link. But I'll get back to the suicide mission in Columbus here in just a little bit. Let's see what's been going on. So far, can't believe the white flag that the Tampa Bay Lightning have put up. Southeast Division is so wide open. They're in fourth place in the division, but they're only 8 points out of first in the division. Winnipeg right now is the 3 seed in the East as the Southeast Division leader. And Vinny LeCavalier has a broken hand. He's going to be out for a few weeks. They've gotten rid of Pavel Kubina, sent him to the Flyers for picks. Then they got rid of some of their muscle, Steve Downey. Popular player in the locker room and around the Tampa Bay area, and they sent him to the Avalanche. In a good deal, I should say. Kyle Quincy is a solid defenseman. And the back line has been the Achilles heel for Tampa Bay this year. They've had a lot of problems with the goaltending, but they're saying it's not the goaltending there. They're saying it's the defenseman. Quincy's a solid pickup, but then what do? They flip Quincy around to Detroit, basically for a first-round pick, which with the Red Wings is the end of the first round. I don't know what Tampa Bay is doing. They're in 12th place right now in the East, but they're 6 points out of the playoffs. It just seems like they got the white flag up. Kind of a lateral move for Colorado. I don't see Downey as being a catalyst for a playoff push for them. Quincy obviously helps Detroit, though. They could be in the driver's seat if they get everybody healthy. You want to make sure Datsyuk comes back from his knee surgery. But their wings are good to go. Surprisingly, Florida's been active. Jared Smithson for a pick, that's a decent deal. He's not a bad player. They also picked up Voltek Volsky from the Rangers. But the Rangers, they're actually, I think, working on Rick Nash because they're trying to cut some cap space. That's the whole reason behind trading Volsky. Minnesota Wild got rid of a malcontent defenseman, Zidlicky. Or is it Zidlicky? I always feel dirty when I say Zidlicky. Let's think about these European players. Got a bunch of good parts from New Jersey for them, so props to them. Who knows what they're going to do, if they're going to try to make a push or if they're going to retract and sell a little bit, get some more parts for next season. They got such a great start. It's just hard to fathom they're going to be sellers right now. LA Kings got Jeff Carter. Had to give up Jack Johnson, quality defenseman for him. That's a trade that helps both teams. If nothing else, the Jackets end up with a first-rate blue line pairing, Wisniewski and Johnson. Kings had to make that deal, though. Even though you're giving up Johnson, still got to make that deal if you're LA. Jeff Carter will help bolster a team that, even though they're in the playoff mix, they're only 2 points out in the West, but they're last in the NHL in goals scored. Jeff Carter's a former 50-goal scorer. If you're Dean Lombardi with the Kings, that's why you give up Jack Johnson. Got to put more pucks in the net. Blue Jackets also got rid of Antoine Vermette, who, a decent player, good second-line player. Whenever they talk about Antoine Vermette, they talk about, oh, he didn't miss any games. Most of their team missed games this year. But if that's really all they're saying when you're leaving, is that you didn't miss any games, sounds like a compliment because they're talking about toughness. Sounds like they're talking about toughness. They're really saying, though, that you didn't bring enough to the team. That's why we had to get rid of you. You're expendable. The Jackets tried a plan. They gave it three-fifths of a season, a season that they've been decimated by injuries, no less. But they didn't even get a full season out of the master plan. Scott Housen trying to make a splash. Some people say it takes a lot of guts to admit at this point that the splash didn't work, but I just think it's too soon to do that. What are the Jackets going to do for goals? Carter gone, Vermette? Quality second-line player, gone. So We've gotten rid of two quality forwards now, and Rick Nash, his agent, has already come out today saying that he wants a trade. First time I've heard that publicly from anybody in the Rick Nash camp. He's always been saying the right things. I think it's a disastrous move to get rid of Rick Nash. I don't think you're going to get nearly enough for him. And like I said, Hitchcock and Nash, the two best things that have ever happened to that team. Hitchcock was the coach the only year they made the playoffs. Rick Nash, their number one overall pick, they actually had to trade up to the number one spot to get him. Those are cornerstones. Those are building blocks. You can't just, that's what losing teams do. You don't rebuild by getting rid of your best players. You just don't. You don't build championships that way. Obviously, they're looking to sell more parts. If you're an Ohio hockey fan, you've got to hope that that lease is ironclad. They're having attendance problems now. They're hemorrhaging money now. You're going to get rid of the players worth even going to see? Suicide. I just can't see that team surviving. They're going to get rid of all their good players. The status and future of Rick Nash actually is going to determine a lot of things over the next year or two. Not just who wins the Stanley Cup Finals possibly this year, depending on who acquires them. We're talking about what city could move into the driver's seat for becoming an NHL city. Assuming, of course, everything completely implodes in Columbus. Could have a mutiny there. Kansas City has the Sprint Center, very nice arena. Their names come up when the Penguins were thinking of moving, the Islanders, when they're still having their arena issues in Long Island. Kansas City's on the short list. Seattle's talking about building an arena. They always specify NBA, NHL arena, like we don't know what an arena's for. Don't forget about Quebec City either, because Gary Bettman is a commissioner of phases. He had his Sun Belt phase a while back. I think now he's in his reparations phase, where he realizes that the Sun Belt stuff, well-intentioned, didn't work as well as he wanted to. He's trying to make amends with the people, at least in Canada. I could see him trying to grease the skids for Quebec City to get either the Blue Jackets or the Islanders, or maybe the Coyotes. That would make eight teams in Canada. Really want to know, though, no one's really had the balls to ask Gary Bettman this directly. This epiphany he's having, his reparations phase, his idea, did he come to this, or are his people feeding him this information they finally got through the fifth or sixth layer? Really got to know this. Quebec City's arena construction is still up in the air, but you know if they can get their stuff worked out, I guarantee they're going to have a team there again in the next 5 years. So we've pretty much gone over what's happened already with NHL trades. The deadline once again coming up Monday afternoon. What can we look forward to? Well, obviously the suicide mission in Columbus, their sellers. Who else? Carolina, the only team in the Southeast Division that really is out of it at this point. They're probably going to be sellers as well. They've got a few decent players. Edmonton, I don't know what they'd get rid of. They should be sellers because they're second worst in the league. They've got Taylor Hall. They've got Nugent Hopkins. They just signed Alex Hemsky, though, with a two-year extension, so he's not going anywhere. Hard to say what parts they'd really want to get rid of. Montreal is last in the Eastern Conference, but they're too proud of an organization, just generally speaking. I think there'd be a mutiny with their fan base if they started openly conceding. They're just not of that mindset. Possible benefits. I always say possible benefits because you don't know what you're getting back. When you're pawning off your superstar player or even just solid veterans, I mean, in theory, it could work because you could be getting some good players back, good young players, but you don't know what you're getting. It's the great unknown. You know what you have in the superstar player. You don't know what you get with all these prospects and draft picks. Kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Catch 22, teams that struggle consistently do so because they don't develop their talent well. They don't draft well. They're the teams that shouldn't be having prospects and draft picks. They don't know what to do with them. Another team I see being a seller, another proud organization, another proud fan base, but I can see Buffalo moving some people, like maybe Stafford, maybe Derek Roy. I guarantee you if a team makes an offer good enough for Jason Pominville, they're going to take it. Thomas Vanek could be going somewhere. If I were a fan of a contending team, I'd kill to have Thomas Vanek right now because I just can't say enough good things about his game. I think he's an underrated, unheralded quality player in this league. That's the thing. I mean, you got a couple of days and you hear the rumors about who might be looking to move people, which players might be headed out. But then someone just gets a bug up their rear end and they decide, hey, this guy's available all of a sudden. You don't know what's going to happen at 2:00 on Monday. Subliminal message, Jason Pominville. Someone got a phone call with a Godfather offer for one player that they didn't think they were going to get rid of. That happens. It drives the people that try to forecast these transactions. It drives them nuts. There's so much cloak and dagger stuff. Some people don't want to tip their hand. There's always deals that seem like surprises, but they've been in the works actually for a while. Not necessarily structured deals in the works, but the framework where a team is willing to give up a certain player, people know it, but they don't leak it. Teams let other teams know about the interest they have in players. Just because it's not reported doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Obviously, the buyers, any team that's solid in the top eight in their conference, reasonably speaking, should be a buyer. But not every team is going to go out and make a transaction. Phoenix is in a good position in the West, but they're league-owned. They have money problems. Unstable market, they're not doing anything. I'm surprised Florida's making any kind of a move because I've seen their attendance, and they don't make any money. Why would you take on salary if you're Florida? And somebody's got to remind them that they've got a playoff-contending team right now. They were a first-place team for a while. Winnipeg's in first in the Southeast right now. Any of the four teams that are still in the mix in the Southeast should be buyers. I think Winnipeg's going to be a buyer simply because people are so hungry for hockey again. They're so excited about the team being in first place, possibly making the playoffs. I think that's going to spur the ownership group to make a move or two. Never guarantees. You got to go for it when the iron's hot. Tampa Bay, we've already covered them giving up, and that's what they're doing. They're not going to say it, but that's what they're doing. Don't count out Washington. They've got a lot of quality veteran players. They might be in the market to add one more. I haven't heard a thing about Pittsburgh making a move, but you know Pittsburgh's always in there. Cornerstone franchise, competitive division, you know they're going to be around. St. Louis, I can see St. Louis making a move with Hitchcock. They're doing some good things in St. Louis. Obviously, the Rangers, they're clearing cap space now, trading Volsky to the Panthers. They're going to be the ones probably making the move for Rick Nash. That's what the rumor mill is churning. I've always joked about when Nash gets fed up with the losing in Columbus, he's going to force a trade to the Maple Leafs because he's an Ontario kid. I know people in Toronto would love to have Rick Nash. Their concern is that the price tag is too high. The price tag should be too high for any team. Rick Nash is an all-world player. It's hard to see that in Columbus when a supporting cast has been so terrible. But Rick Nash, trust me, because I've watched so many Columbus Blue Jackets games. I'm a big Rick Nash fan. It just seems like he's moving in slow motion. I guess I should clarify that I don't mean that he plays without any effort. He plays hard. It looks like he's not exerting any real effort. That's what makes him great. Nash, with some good personnel, is on the brink of greatness. You saw what he did in Vancouver in the Olympics. It was him and Crosby. Those, I think, were the two most dominant people on the Team Canada gold medal winning team. I could see San Jose making a move. They've never been afraid to make moves. Look for Chicago to make a move. I'm calling it right now. Chicago's going to make a big splash by Monday. A full year removed from winning the Stanley Cup. Central Division's very, very tough. But hockey's back in Chicago, and I don't see them just sitting idly by, letting everybody pass them. Rocky Wirtz is going to make a move. I can guarantee you that. There's so many teams that are still in it. I just see a lot of transactions, even small-scale ones, being made. It's going to be for interesting TV. You can watch it on the NHL Network. Or if not the NHL Network, just stay on the intranets. Hopefully the suicide hotline won't be ringing off the hook. You know what I mean, Scott Howson? Talking to you, man. Do the right thing. Or more importantly, don't do the wrong thing. And you know what I'm talking about. A lot of people in Ohio know what I'm talking about.